And now we'll hear the case of Hidalgo v. New Ichiro Sushi. And we received a letter that there is no appearance on behalf of Mr. Hidalgo. So, Mr. Yan, you're up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Troy.
Thank you so much.
1783. I just want to point out that's the...
No, that argument is over. Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't get to take extra time.
I understand.
Especially when she's already walking out the door. All right? Yes. All right. Go ahead.
May I please the court? Good morning, Your Honor. My name is David Yan. I represent defendant appellant New Ichiro Sushi, Inc. This case is about whether or not the plaintiff present document evidence to meet his burden of proof that he...
I saw that argument in your brief, Mr. Yan. I don't understand. There is no rule that you have to have corroboration in documents. If someone testified to something, including the hours that they worked, even if they don't have documents to support it, it could be credited. There's no rule that says you have to have documents, right?
There's a... Actually, Your Honor, I respectfully point to a case... There's a this court case in 2018, Gamero versus Kodu Sushi Corporation, citing Anderson versus Mount Clemens Pottery Company, the case, saying that that's the plaintiff employee bears the burden of proving he performed the work for which he was insufficiently compensated. And
Right, but the district judge found that he did bear the burden and he bore it successfully.
Because this case, we have a plaintiff come in saying that, oh, I worked for this employer, worked for this restaurant, worked for this employer. However, he could not really produce any time cards. He could not.
I know you've said that. You said that, but it's been pointed out to you by the presiding judge that. Testimony is sufficient, if believed.
Yeah, Your Honor.
There's no requirement that for an employee to recover in an FLSA case, they have to have kept time records of when they worked. Obviously, that would be helpful. It would strengthen their case.
And indeed, it's often the case that there are no time records because the employer doesn't keep them, which in and of itself is a violation on the New York side of the labor law, as well, to some degree, the federal law, for which there are separate penalties that are imposed. Isn't that the case?
Your Honor, that's the...
Right, so it's in the employer's... It's to the employer's benefit to not keep a time record. If the law were as you stated it, it would be in the employer's favor to not keep a time record because then no one could prove their claim.
Because this case was joint trial with other plaintiffs.
Well, I understand that, but...
Other plaintiffs come in saying that they had the punch cards.
Yeah, they
saw the punch
cases.
Card machine.
But they are separate cases. And was there any contradictory evidence that cards or otherwise that contradicted Mr. Hidalgo?
Contradictory evidence is that the district court improperly excluded the apparent defendant's evidence. The restaurant was closed down from September 17, 2014 to the end of...
Wait a second. The district court said as long as you put in proof that you had produced in discovery that it would be admitted. It was admitted conditionally, and you put that letter in. So there was no exclusion of that evidence.
No. Eventually, there was an exclusion.
My question to you on that is, I looked at those bank records. I can't make heads or tails out of them. How can you possibly tell from those bank records that the restaurant was closed for 2 weeks for renovation? It's just endless lines from a bank that make no sense to me. So can you explain that to me?
Your Honor, nowadays, the restaurant cannot really operate by their own. They have to sign in with the online apps, like the Seamless Groupon, whatever. Mm-hmm. These apps, you have to use your bank account, because without the apps, no each individual restaurant could really operate profitably. These apps, you have to use the corporation name and the bank accounts because they charge money and why to your bank account. So the bank account actually, and also point of sale, showing substantially, this is evidence whether or not the restaurant can be, is in the operative status. or it was closed.
Okay, but if you really wanted the district court to consider that and understand that, I went back and looked at the testimony. There was a lot of argument about the records, but the explanation that you just tried to give this court was never given to the district court. So what the district court had was pages and pages of bank records that on their own, to me, made no sense.
There was testimony of Juhan Wang in the video day. He said that the bank record reflect that the Russian was not open.
I know, but I'm telling you, it was not explained. He did say that. He said, yeah, we were closed and we have bank records, and then it was a whole discussion about whether they should be admitted or not, but nobody explained how the bank records show that, and it was not clear to me. So I don't know how it would have been clear to the district court.
During the trial, there was time assigned to the defendant and the appellant, and there was about almost 6 or 7 minutes to argue whether or not this record should be admitted. The district court saying that, if you insist to admit this record, I'm going to sanction you. I said, why should I sanction you? Why should I be sanctioned? Because this was produced during the discoveries. After several or 8 minutes, the district court said, okay, let's put this one. You submitted the letter. At first,
so what, you're saying you ran out of time? That you didn't have time to explain them? Is that what you're saying?
No, I ran out of time.
Did you ask for more time? Yes, Your Honor, we need to explain these records to you. Can I have a few minutes? There was none of that, right?
When the district court told her me that the defense counsel saying that, okay, you search your record to find out if you ever produced during the discovery, then I will admit these records. Then said that your time is over. You can't. So everything was over. So it was not really because there's a certain time allowed to plaintiff, certain time to the defendants. During the defendant's trial time, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not these should be admitted or these evidence should be excluded. And both defense, the plaintiff counsel saying that defendant never produced these records. The judge said,
You're mixing arguments now. That's a separate argument from whether or not they show it was under renovation or not. Now you're saying that the district court somehow abused her discretion in not giving you additional time that you didn't even ask for. So that's a whole separate issue that isn't really properly raised.
I know, but you know, that's a way of the trial. The district court, they gave you, okay, you have a 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minutes, you can try. At the end, judge can't get a more minute. She said, no, that you can't. That's we have only this time for trial, reserved for trial. You used up all your time. Even, do believe the transcript. I said, judge, there was discussion about whether or not this record should be admitted. She said, that's the part. You already used all your minutes. Nothing more. So that's...
All right, before you waste all your minutes here on that, you have 2.5 minutes if you want to cover something else.
But, Your Honor, I do believe because the Monk Clement's case really saying that if the employer come forward saying that, no, you have to produce the record because you only have a long testimony saying that I worked for employer, I worked for 72 hours a week. That means the person worked about 12 hours a week for 72, at least the more than 10 hours a week for 7 days a week. However, this person present evidence to the whatever federal government agency saying that she worked part-time. She was a part-time employee, less than 30 hours a week. And now she also comes to, he also comes to the federal court saying that, no, that's not right. My past document evidence submitted to the federal agency for whatever Medicaid, for food stamp is not correct. Now I work 72 hours a week and underpaid. And the plaintiff cannot double dip for both benefits. That's in the evidence. So, Your Honor,
I think it's somewhat ironic that in connection with the other appeal, you're arguing that the district court's credibility determinations, we should defer to those, notwithstanding there was, you know, documents, punch cards. But here, because there was one plaintiff who she found credible, we should disregard all that deference, is essentially what you're telling us.
You know,
isn't that somewhat ironic?
You know, if you may, in a matter of extent, that's a different what happened in this case is, this person come in, the plaintiff came to the federal court, asked for relief without any evidence. No punch cards. He never filled out the form of the employees. Why other employees filled out?
I've seen many of these cases. This may be the fourth one in the last 18 months. The employees never have documents. It's always on their testimony as to what they did and worked.
But you understand?
I mean, the simple fact of the matter is that the vast majority of these wage cases, there aren't any records because it's in the employer's benefit to not have a record. The rule can't be that the claim has to be premised on a document. That can't be the rule this way.
You understand? Can you imagine if somebody walked into a restaurant, I had that case, certainly I was here to purchase, but because the door, there was no ramp, I could not come in, but you have to show that you actually come to this restaurant. For example, for this case here, in person, how come my number? You work for a prior employer.
Did you call any of the employees that say he never worked there? You could have called the employees that said he was never the sushi chef at the new restaurant. There was no employee who testified to that, right?
Did you call the contractor who allegedly was working while the restaurant was being reworked?
No. This employee said he was my boss. He did not. If this plaintiff saying that he was a sushi chef.
All right, Mr. Yan, I think we've gone over time here. We understand the argument. So thank you for coming in today. We're going to reserve the decision. Have a good day.
Okay.
All right, the remaining two cases on the calendar today are on submission. Horty Americas LLC versus Jacobs Village Farm et al. And Stegeman versus Diaz et al. I believe that completes the business of the court today. And with thanks to Mr. Rodriguez, I'll ask you to adjourn court.
Court stands adjourned.
Rhea, are you going to connect me to the roving room, or shall I proceed by phone?
Judge, they will call you from the roving room in a few minutes. Is that okay? Can you hear me? Judge, can you hear me?
Yeah. Am I going to proceed by phone?
Yes.
Okay, and they have my number. Can I give it to you?
Yes, I do have both of your numbers here, your cell phone and your chambers. Which one you want them to use?
I think the chambers would be fine.
Okay, Judge. Thank you. They will call you in a few minutes.
Is that 2181?
2181.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.